Is everyone
good? Good to see you this morning. Someone asked me this morning.
If they said, "Are you OCD?" And I said, "You know, I don't even know that really what that stands for. You know, it means you freak out, obsessive compulsive disorder." There you go. And I said, "No, I don't think so." But then I realized every single Sunday, I always move this pulpit if it's not like completely in the center of this aisle. So maybe I am a little more OCD than I would like to admit. Look at that. So a little self-awareness happening. But it is so good to see all of you this morning. I hope your 2017 is treating you well. I have no complaints. What a great year. And what great things God has in store for us. Amen. I tell you, I so appreciated Steve and the worship team this morning. I don't know if he's in here this morning right now, but man, I love to discover the biblical truths about worship. Because if you look at the heart of God, you look at how important worship was to his people and how important it still is to us today. And to see that it wasn't just, we'll just sing a song, but there are strategies, specific words, specific ways of worshiping the creator of the universe. And I think it's something in the New Testament church that we need to continue to familiarize ourselves with, so we're not just, you know, shouting when we should be kneeling, right? So we have the right strategy. So I just so appreciate our worship team and Steve just leading us. And I know we're going to continue to go through some or all of those words as the time goes on, but I just appreciate that. So thanks, Steve and worship team. Well, I get to bring my first message of 2017. I'm excited. If you were not here last week, if you partied too hard on the 31st, or you just had little kids and they were still sleeping, I get that. But I encourage you to get the message, as Pastor Ryan just did a great job talking about dreaming with God. And he said a few things that I'm just going to continue off of that theme this morning. But he said a few things about how God's given us a spirit of adventure, a spirit of exploration. And as a church, I never want to lose that spirit of adventure, because I believe it's something that's God has given us specifically to fulfill the dreams and the plans that he has for his people. It's part of our DNA. And so when we go out and we want to do great things for the Lord, well, that's how we were created to be. And so I say, God, let us be adventurous. Let us dream your dreams. He said a few other things. He said there's a difference the way we live our lives surviving versus living for the dream. And I tell you, sometimes life can be very difficult and hard, right? And I don't want to just live this spiritual life for the Lord just to get through it and to survive, because you know what? I've got something inside of me that was created for more, and so do you. And so we want to live for the dreams that God has for us. He said a number of just phenomenal things. So I encourage you, listen to the message, because it was just a great way to start off the year for us, both individually but also corporately as well. But I'm going to continue this morning and just kind of set the stage for some of the things that we're going to see in the next, you know, number of months. First part of our year is we're really looking at some of the things that the Lord wants to say to us, for our families, but also for our body. This week, I was watching this show with my wife before I fell asleep, because that's what I do when the TV's on. It was called, and I think I've talked about it before, I think it's called Fixer Upper. There we go. That's awesome. They're down in like Texas. They're awesome Christians. They stand for truth. I have a mug, or my wife does, but I always use it because I get up earlier, and it's from there. It's pretty cool. It's a nice heavy mug, so it's easy to drink from, none of this flimsy mugs. But it's called Fixer Upper, and I love that show because it awakens this fascination inside of my heart to see things that are timeless, that are historical, that are just different than what we have today. It's an opportunity to see those things in their fullest beauty of how they were created to be. That's what I love about the show, because you see this old house that at one time was awesome, And whatever happens to it, happened to it, and they make it awesome again. And they just put their, you know, whistles, and it's just phenomenal, the turnaround. And I was thinking about, as a society, our fascination with things that are timeless, right? Or our fascination with things that have a history or have a heritage or have a tradition behind them. You know, you could go to some of these old buildings in some of our big cities in America, and you just look at the architecture, and you look at just everything about those buildings, and they're just the curves, and they're just cool. Anyone else like that? Okay. You know, I look at some of the nations of our world's histories, you know, and I don't know, you know, nothing against maybe Australia. I get really jacked up about the history of the nation, you know, of Australia. But I look at Ireland and Scotland and England and the castles, and people go on trips, and I just go, man, there's just something cool about their story. Like, I'm sure the story of, you know, Australia is really great, but man, to hear about the wars and all the history, and it gets me excited about things. And I even think about it in the terms of a church. Even this church, you know, we're not here gathering today just because, well, what do you want to do on a Sunday at 9 and 11? Let's go to this church and let's gather. You know, part of the reason I love to gather here together with you, with my family, is that I know that there has been hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have gone before me, even specifically here on this piece of property, in this very building, that have paved the way for some of the things that we're walking in and experiencing in today. And so just to know that 50 years ago, 90 years ago, whatever the time is, that there was families just like mine, just like yours, that said, you know what? We're going to give of our finances sacrificially because we're believing that God's going to do something today that we might not see, but in 50 years, in 60 years, there's people that are still going to benefit from the sacrifice that we made. I love the fact that there was 50 years ago people that said, we're going to gather at this Hobart, Washington, and pray for an awakening. And they're going to dig wells. And you know what? We're still experiencing and feeling and seeing the fruit of the sacrifices that generation made. That excites me. I don't know about you, but I'm just even talking about it, getting excited to know that I'm not just here on a Sunday morning singing a song to a band and, you know, talking about different Hebrew words, but we are here and we have opportunities to sow seeds, to plant, to break up ground that someday your kids, your grandkids, your grandkids' grandkids, that you don't even have grandkids yet, that they're going to reap the benefits of the things that you're doing today in the Spirit. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, how cool, right? So we have this fascination with things like that, that it's not just what I do today is just going to die with me when I die someday, right? There's a fascination with things that are timeless. You know, I am I'm a sports guy, and all sports, I love it, I follow it, I listen to it, I played it, sometimes still try to play, but I'm getting older, and it doesn't work as well as it used to. But I love to even think about the history of sports teams. You know, this year, the Chicago Cubs, right, Mark Mitchell, the Chicago Cubs won the world, yeah, something like that, right? The Chicago Cubs won the World Series. I've never been to a Chicago Cubs baseball game. I couldn't tell you any of their players. I could tell you the stadium they play in. I don't follow them. I don't know what kind of season they had. But I loved getting behind the Chicago Cubs this year because of the history of the Chicago Cubs, that they were established in like 1876, and they haven't won a championship before this year in like 108 years. And just to think about the Hall of Fame players, the traditions, the histories, the players that bought into what the organization was doing and that they gave their all, and that they had setbacks, and they had what curses, whatever you want to call them. But those same players that won the championship this year, they weren't just playing for themselves, right? They were playing for an organization that had deep roots. They were playing for an organization. So when they put on their Cubs jersey, they are representing the reputation of the organization. They are representing the players that have gone before them and the players that are going to go after them, right? So I love to get behind that history. You know, I believe in the year before last, I think the Kansas City Royals won. Like, good job, guys. They were established in like 1970. That's cool. That's cool. I guess, you know, I guess someone has to win it, right? But there's something different about the history, the Chicago, the story, the historical meaning. You know, you see these, you know, I see it on shirts, but they say established. Has anyone seen a shirt like that? Like a Levi Strauss Jean Company, established, I don't know. You know, I can check on the back of my pants, but, you know, 18 whatever. And there's just something cool to see that company has been around. You know, and I remember when a new company, I think it was a few years ago, and it said established 2013. I'm like, kind of a waste of a shirt, right? Okay, well, what is that? That's cool. Good for you, right? So there's something that we are drawn to when it comes to, because again, in 2013, you know, in 50 years, we'll look at that and go, man, they were established in 2013. You know, but now we're just like, that's cool, right? That's cool. Good luck. I hope it works out for you. And I've been thinking this week and this last month about that word established. And Pastor Ryan talked a little bit about it because I strongly believe that the Lord wants to establish things in 2017. That word established, I just can't get it out of my spirit of really what that means. And if you look up the definition of established, it means it's a definition to found, to build, to bring into a firm or stable situation. It's something that is usually associated with time and proves longevity and success. So when you hear that word established, in your mind you start thinking about it's firm. It's successful. It is going to stand the test of time. It's going to do all these things. And I strongly believe for us that the Lord wants to establish things in your heart this year. That there's some things even corporately that the Lord wants to establish and reestablish that are going to stand the test of time, that are going to be successful, that are going to be one of those things that you look at it and you say, yeah. Yeah, I remember that, right? All the reputation, all of the past, the history, the different things, similar to the Cubs, right? That, oh yeah, that represents this and represents that. But I believe that it's a year of establishment. I hope you can latch on to that this morning. Because I believe when we talk about the Lord establishing things in our life, He wants to set us up for some things. He wants to set us up for a past, a history, a present, a pedigree, a strategy, and a future that creates excitement, that creates awe, that creates this sense of there's something going on here, and I'm excited to be a part of it. And I believe He wants to do that in our midst, and I believe He's doing it. And here's the good news this morning about the Lord wanting to establish us this year. It has nothing to do with your personal experience, with your personal achievement, with your personal strength, with your what you can do in your own strength. It has everything to do with you aligning yourself to the personhood, the character, the anointing, and the will of Father God. Because as you walk in the things that He is, His grace, His power, His mercy, His truth, as you walk in those things, you're going to join yourself with everything that He has to offer. Right? When I allow Him to establish my life, I align myself with the things that He's doing and the things that He's already done.
Okay, just similar to like the Chicago Cubs, those guys that when they put on the jersey, when you allow the Lord to establish your life, you are identifying with who Jesus is. So whether you've been here for 40 years or 4 days, right, I don't think that's what matters. Or maybe this is your first Sunday, welcome. But I believe that this can be a year in your life, in how you do life and how you do your family's life, where the Lord is going to set things in motion that are going to last long after you're gone, that are going to go from generation to generation, because he wants to establish things in the spirit in us this year. And he wants to change the direction and the future of your life. You know, Pastor Ryan talked a lot about it last week, but he said one of the strategies of the enemy is to keep us in survival mode. Right, some people might say just going through the motions. Have you heard that expression? Well, I'm just surviving, man. I'm just going through the motions, and I get that. I'm just spinning my wheels. Right, I've felt that before, and I think one of the fears that we have, because I think one of the worst things you can do is just keep surviving. Right, I'm not talking like physically. Obviously, you got to survive to, you know, duh. But what I'm saying is when you're just don't really have any purpose to your life and when you're just going through the motions, one of the worst things you can do is just keep doing the same thing. But one of the greatest fears is, well, if I stop spinning my wheels, if I stop just going through the motions, well, then what? Then I'm not doing anything. And we struggle with that idea that says, well, man, at least I'm doing something. But I believe that the Lord wants to stop some of those motions and some of those just spinning the wheels concepts, because he wants us to have purpose in our lives. Okay, it's kind of like the thing that you do with your personal budget every January. I know we need to get on a personal budget, honey. But you know what? It's just really hard. We hardly have enough money. And so we'll just keep doing this, and just be careful how much we're using the debit card. Well, come on, right? That doesn't work. It doesn't work, you know. You're all like, yeah, it doesn't work for me either, right? But it's that moment where you say, no, we're going to get on track. We're going to get a vision. We're going to get a plan, and then we're going to stick to the plan. And I don't know, because nothing has changed right then, but everything has changed. You know what I'm saying? Like the numbers haven't changed, but everything's changed. And I believe that that's one of the things the Lord wants to do in us. And so talking about God establishing us this morning, I just want to read 1 Peter 5:10. Not a lot of scripture, but I believe this scripture is going to be key to us this year and key to us as individuals and families, because it's what the Lord wants to do. And this is in 1 Peter. They're really talking to the New Testament church. It gives us some great encouragement early on about how leaders are supposed to react to the people that they're leading. It also gives us great example of how we're supposed to relate to one another and relate to leaders. And then it goes on and talks about how we're supposed to resist the enemy, right, and push back and do some battle. And then it ends with this, and it says this. It says, after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's read it again. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So like I said earlier, when the Lord establishes you, you don't just get a firm foundation, because that's what establishment means, right? It's firm. But when the Lord establishes you, you get everything that he is and all of his ability and everything that he can do. You now get to identify with those things. Okay, that is like the greatest news. That means when God establishes you, your past, your present, your future, your past reputation, right? That means if you allow God to establish your life, you got to identify with the victory that David had over Goliath some 2,000 years ago. That means that when God made the covenant with Noah, you're now part of that story. You got to identify, because God's made a similar covenant with us today. And so we don't just like, oh, cool, God's establishing. No. We get to be a part of what he's done. We get restored. We get confirmed. We get strengthened.
all in the process of God establishing our life. You know, it starts out and it says, after you've suffered a little while. You know that word suffer? We don't like that word suffer, right? I think of just like cold, shivering, I'm just suffering. But the word suffer, it means to submit, to be forced to endure, to labor under, to undergo, to experience, to put up with the unavoidable, to endure death, pain, distress, to sustain loss or damage, and to be subject to disability or limitation. Anyone that's suffered some things before? Right? And it says, hey, you're going to feel limitation. Hey, you're going to feel loss. You're going to feel distress. You're going to have to put up with things that are unavoidable. You're going to have to. We've probably, as a body, as individuals, we've put up with some things that were probably unavoidable. We're faced with things in our own lives that we can't control. But the good news is, it's for a little while. Okay, it's not forever. In a little while, it's like, well, what does that mean? It really has everything to do with not nearly as bad as it could have been in comparison. Okay, that's what little while means. It's not as bad as it could have been in comparison. Of what? Well, do the math. Of eternal damnation, of hopelessness. It's small in condition and in comparison. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, don't lose heart. Though your outer self is wasting away, your inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing you for an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. As you look not to the things that you can see, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so when we're in a season of suffering, I don't know what it is about us humans, but we always like to focus on the suffering. Right? I just want to talk about how bad my condition is. And I think there's a time and a place that you can talk about that kind of stuff. But unfortunately, when we dwell on how we're suffering, our focus is off how God wants to restore us. Our focus is off how God wants to do the miracle in the midst of the suffering. Our focus is off the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory, which is his nature and his character. Okay, so when we focus on that suffering, it takes our attention off of how God wants to shorten the little while thing going on. Because we kind of turn it, the little while, into a long while because we just focus on the suffering. Okay, so God says, you're going to suffer. But then he says, I want to restore you. Okay, and we think of the word of restore, and some translations go on and they use the word, you know, we look at like perfect, right? But it's not perfect, it's perfect. Right, but the true sense of the word restore really means to restore something. It actually talks about, if you look at the word restore, it talks about a warship or a trade ship that was damaged in battle or damaged by the elements. In battle meaning things that were done to you, things that were done against you, scars and wounds that you suffered as a result of war. Okay, or it talked about damage done just by life, just by the elements, by the wind and the rain. And it talked about a ship going in, you know, out of commission and going into the shipyard or wherever they would repair ships back then. And instead of demolishing the ship, they looked at the ship and said, its design, its materials, its shape are still worth being put back into use. And so we are going to restore. Yeah, there's probably newer, better designs out there, but this boat can still be used for battle. This ship can still be used to transport goods. And I think I look at what Jesus has done in our lives, and he looks at the battle scars. He looks at what life has happened and done to you, and he looks at you and he doesn't go, ah, you know what? There's probably another Justin that I could just recreate because this one's just done. No, he looks at our lives and he says, I can put it back together. I can use the brokenness. I can use the things that were done against you. I can use the hardship that you've had to go through. And I can make that ship sail again. And I can make that ship do war again to the enemies that oppose the kingdom of God. Amen? He doesn't just scrap us. He doesn't just, oh, I guess I'll try again. No, he wants to restore. Are you in need of maybe some restoration this year? Because God wants to restore you. The second thing that he wants to do in the scripture, it says he wants to confirm you. Okay, just as I read in 1 Peter, the word confirm has everything to do. It's not just, oh, I'm going to confirm you. Like, I'm confirmed. It has everything to do with your purpose and your destiny. It has everything to do with who you are at the very core of your heart. The word confirm has everything to do with your purpose and destiny. Okay, why you are here, what you're supposed to do, right? The age-old question that everyone asks, this word confirm has everything to do with it. And I believe that we're entering a season where God wants to confirm the purposes that he has for you in 2017. The very reason why you're here, maybe struggling, maybe feel broken, God wants to confirm why you're here and why you're doing what you're doing. I don't know, for your marriage, for your workplace, for your kids, God wants to reinstill and reignite purpose in our hearts. I believe even as a body that God wants to confirm purposes, that we are not just one of five churches in a mile radius on this road, which is crazy to think about. In the middle of nowhere, there's five churches in a mile radius. We're not just, oh, we're just number four on the road towards Hobart. No. We are Generational Hope Christian Center. A church that believes in fathering and mothering. A church that believes that there is a God of hope that wants to release that hope. We are not just number four out of five, and we probably got the oldest building. No. No. God wants to confirm purpose in our hearts. Corporately, individually. He's going to come this year in your life, and he's going to bring back to memory those dreams and those things. Even the spirit of fathering, I believe that the Lord wants to ignite and reignite a spirit of fathering in this place. I believe it's going to be a year for him to confirm anointings in us, in you. But God wants to confirm. Just say, you have a purpose. The third thing that the scripture does for us is it strengthens us. You know, and I love that word strengthen because, you know, I think I can understand what it means. But this word strengthen, it doesn't just mean like to make strong. Okay, all through high school, I played sports, and I know, I don't look like the wrestler. Okay, I don't look like I wrestled for like 7 years. You know, the leverage, long legs, it comes in handy, that kind of stuff. But I wrestled through high school and had some success and had some opposite of success. But I was thinking about the word strength because it has the definition of the word strength has everything to do with what I would say a wrestling match does. And so Sam, come here. I'm going to invite Sam. This is Sam, one of our GLs. He's awesome. You know, if we were to have a wrestling match like we're going to do in just a minute, I've seen this guy spar a black belt in the basement, and this guy could hold his own. And so I think I know what would happen if we were to wrestle. But we think about the word strength. So we're going to wrestle. Sam's going to take me down. All right, Sam, pin me here. He's going to pin me on the stage. Okay. Aside there. Okay, so he's going to pin me. See, he's more of a martial artist. So when we hear the word strengthen, we think like Popeye, spinach. God's going to strengthen me, and I'm going to be on my back just surviving. I'm going to push him off. Don't go anywhere. Okay, now you can go somewhere. Get up. So we think strengthen is God is going to leave me on my back, and he's going to give me the supernatural strength to push back. But the word strengthen has nothing to do with that.
The word strengthen has everything to do with him changing your position. Okay, it's not I'm going to fight from my back. No, strengthen means that you're going to be on your back. God's going to put you in a different position so that then you could fight differently. Then you can battle differently. You're not going to be on your back pushing because that's not going to work. But when God wants to strengthen you, he wants to take you from where you are, put you on a different vantage point, a point of, what's the right word? A point of victory, thank you. A point where you are favored and not just, well, he's going to give me strength for my back. No, God wants to change your position. And so we have to align ourselves. Thanks, Sam, right? Maybe next time we'll really wrestle and you could see him whoop on me. But God wants to do that in us this year. That there may be things that you feel like you're on your back and you're like, God, give me strength. Well, you don't be ready for God to move you to a different vantage point. A point where you can have the advantage over your enemies. And again, you don't need as much strength when you're operating from that position. You don't need as much human strength as you do. Because I've spent my time on my back in wrestling matches. And let me tell you, you get tired trying to fight from the bottom. Right? You get tired. You get worn out. You usually don't win when you spend 6 minutes an inch from being on the mat for 3 seconds. Okay? You usually don't win. But it's when you're in that place of strength that you're not using as much energy. And you're in control. And that is what the word strengthen means. When it talks about the Lord is going to strengthen you. So when he wants to establish you, he's going to confirm your purpose. He's going to restore you. And he's going to move your position to a place of advantage. Establish, I said it. It means to make firm. And I look through scripture and I really see very quickly, and then I'm going to have Steve come. I really see three areas that I see. If anytime you look at the word establish in the Bible, there's a ton of things, but really three of them really pop out to me of specific things that the Lord, I believe, wants to establish in your hearts. Okay, because again, when he establishes you, he confirms you, strengthens you, restores you, but he's going to do it, and he's going to establish, number one, in the area of his covenant towards you. Okay, anytime in scripture when it says establish, most of the time it's talking about that God establishes his covenant with his people. He establishes his agreement that he is making with his people, right? Covenant is a contract. It's an undertaking. It's something that you are venturing to do together with someone, okay? It is a commitment. It is a guarantee. It is a pledge. It is a promise. It is a deal. It is a settlement. It is arrangement, and it is an understanding. So when you have a covenant with someone, you have all of these things. Okay, but the thing about covenant is the truth of the matter is in human covenant, I'm not talking about God, in the covenant that we know and we experience with here on this earth, the covenant is only as good as the person you are entering covenant with. Think about it. It's only as good as the person that you're entering that covenant with, right? Even on a human level, I remember when I was younger and I wanted to, you know, establish credit, and they always said, oh, well, we would, but you don't have any, right? And so what they would say is, well, you know what, you want to get a cell phone, we'll enter into a contract with you, back when the contracts were a big deal, 2-year contracts, but you have to give us a deposit, because your character, your past decisions, you know, when we look up your little numbers on our little system, it tells us we shouldn't enter this covenant with you, because whatever reason, because you're shady, because you made some mistakes, because you don't have any. So you give us enough money, and that will help guarantee for us the contract, the covenant. And so the covenants that we make here on this earth are only as good as the person that you go into contract with. And a lot of times a covenant and speaks to and reveals a lot about a person's character, nature, and way of doing things. Right, like I would never want to enter into a business covenant with someone that doesn't know math, right? Or someone that, you know, is careless, right? Because again, their character of who they are is really a determining factor in how the effects of that covenant are going to be carried out, right? It wouldn't be wise for me to enter covenant with that person. What's so cool about the covenant of God is God makes covenant with you and me. He makes covenant with ones whose character is less than stellar, whose faithfulness could be better, who have wronged him, who have betrayed him, and he still says, I want to enter covenant with you. Because of the things that I have to offer, I want to enter a covenant with you. And I believe this morning the Lord wants to strengthen that covenant. He wants to strengthen that agreement. He wants to speak to you and say that you are my son, you are my daughter. My covenant says I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I am a God of hope, and though your situation is hopeless, I'm going to fill you with my hope. Okay, God wants to reestablish his covenant with us. Again, he hasn't changed, but he wants to make his covenant of who he is come alive in your hearts. The second thing I believe the Lord wants to establish in you is he wants to establish his name. Okay, if you look all through Scripture, the Lord always established his name with his people. That means, do you know what his name represents? Because the names of God tell everything about the character of God and what to expect as you enter relationship with him. And so I believe this year, as you seek the Lord is going to establish his name in your life. I don't know what your year is like, what your year has been, but I don't know, but I believe that God is going to establish that he is Jehovah Jireh, the one who can provide. So if you need provision, I believe this year that the Lord is going to establish that he is your provider. I don't know if you are sick this morning. I don't know if you know someone that is sick, but I believe this morning that Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Okay, how about some more? Jehovah Shammah. Do you need to know that God is there? Do you feel alone? Because Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there, wants to establish him being there in your life. How about Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Do you need peace in your life? Because get to know the God of peace, because the God of peace wants to establish a lifestyle of peace this year. Do you feel lost? Do you need a shepherd? Okay, Jehovah Ra. Jehovah Ra wants to establish his shepherding rule in your life this year. He wants to guide you. He wants to care for you. He wants to lead you, right, by quiet waters this year. Okay, what name of God do you need established in your life? There's like 16 of them. But the Lord wants to establish his name in us in 2017. He wants to be your banner. He wants to be your healer. He wants to be your master. Well, I don't know if I need a master. Well, you know what? We all need a master, right? Adonai, our master. Do you need to know I'm going to butcher it. Kana, Q-A-N-N-A, that he is a jealous God. Not in a negative sense, but he wants your heart fully. Do you need to know that this morning? Steve, would you come up here? Steve's going to play. The last thing I really felt like the Lord wants to establish in us, and you can look at it through scriptures, he wants to establish households, seed, and seed fields in your life. Households, seed, and seed fields. The next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about a spirit of fathering. Because I believe that a spirit of fathering is vital to the success of church, of not just this church, of Christians. That we need a spirit of fathering.
Okay, it needs to be established. We need a place where sons and daughters, that there's a healthy environment where they can grow, where they can be cared for. The Lord wants to establish households, seed, and seed fields. Anytime the Lord made covenant with his people, it wasn't just, I'm making covenant with you, Justin is the father. No, Justin is the father. I'm making covenant with you and your sons and your daughters that are going to go after you. Because God is generational, right? He always thinks 2, 3, 4 generations out. And so God wants to establish his covenant that extends to the next generation. It says in Exodus 1, because you feared the Lord, I will establish your household. Your household. Claim that this morning for your family, that the Lord wants to establish your household, your sons and your daughters. It goes on and it talks about seed. Seed speaks of your descendants of the next generation. The Lord wants to establish your seed, your sons and your daughters. He wants to establish the seed of our sons and daughters here at Generational Hope Christian Center that would go out and that would bear much fruit, that would sustain people through their life, that would be life givers to people. Okay, and then it goes on. So you've got households, you've got seed, but then you've got what I call seed fields. In Exodus 34, it says this. It says, I will establish for you a renowned planting place, and they will not again be victims of a famine in the land, and they will not endure the insults of the nations anymore. Okay, a renowned planting place, it talks about a vineyard that was given to the people that they could go back to every year and plant, and that they would not go hungry. So I believe that the Lord wants to reestablish seed fields here, renowned planting places that we would see sons and daughters planted, grow, and you know what? We would continue to see that growth year after year. Okay, that's what he wants to do, right? I love that the scripture, it talks about a place that you can go back to. It's going to not just give you crop for a season. Well, good luck. It'll feed you this year. Good luck. No, the truths, the principles that we're sowing into the sons and daughters are going to be the truths and the principles that are going to be sown into your grandkids in 30 years. The same ones. Man, that's exciting. That the world, when the world sees us, they're not going to mock. You're not going to be a victim of a famine.